time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order for however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio. There are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. Thank you all for joining me. We're going to start with the rosehip cell. There's a kind of neuron that was discovered in the brain. It's been more than a century since a Spanish neuroanatomist, Santiago Ramón y Cajal, won the Nobel Prize for illustrating the way neurons allow you to walk and talk and think and be. Well, in the past 100 years, modern neuroscience hasn't progressed that much in how it distinguishes one kind of neuron from another. The brain cells are still primarily defined by two labor-intensive characteristics, how they look and how they fire. So what happened? An international team of researchers introduced the world to a new kind of neuron, which at this point is believed to exist only in the human brain. They haven't seen it in other animals, and the long fibers known as axons, these are densely bundled cells that bulge in a way that reminded the discoverers of a rose without its petals, so much so that they named them the rosehip cells. And they're described in the issue of Nature Neuroscience, and these new neurons might use their specialized shape to control the flow of information from one region of the brain to another. They're learning that they may be able to use this. One is to help map the brain projects. Different sections of the brain deal with different issues. And so they're thinking that they can actually use this new type of neuron to be able to brain mapping projects. And so that's what they're doing. Neurons come in two basic flavors, those that get excited and send information to the cells next to them, and those that inhibit cells to slow down or stop being excited from firing. And the rosehip cells belong to this later type. And based on their physiology, they seem to be particularly potent, and they can curb excitement in the brain. It's quite interesting. To continue on that, there's five impossible things your brain can do. There was another great article, and it says how to tap into your inner genius you didn't know you had. Acquired savant syndrome, which is a rare condition that sometimes occurs after trauma to the left side of the brain. There's also what's called savant autistic, and that's where kids might know mathematics or be able to tell you any day of the week on any year that you say. But there's a lot of things that the brain can do, and there's five of them, and they talk about. Number one is astonishing memory feats. So let me give you an example, tell you how to have a super memory by changing the way you relate to words. So imagine here are the 10 words: ladybug, comb, oatmeal, lawyer, coal, stamp, knife, worm, bell, and lettuce. Now, think of those words. They're totally unrelated. Now, you heard those words. How many of those words can you say? Again, ladybug, comb, oatmeal, lawyer, coal, stamp, knife, worm, bell, lettuce. Most people are attempting to remember auditorily, thinking or hearing those words over and over. Well, when you can change and learn to remember those words visually, and our brains are much more visual than our linguistic brain. So when you can learn to associate, remember 100 names, look at that face or the name and put it next to some kind of image. So that's number one, how to have a visual memory as opposed to an auditory memory. You'll be able to recall things when you make that association. The next one is they talk about telekinesis for people that do dowsing or do pendulums. They use that as an example. You know, there is an electromagnetic energy that dowsers are very sensitive to, and as they're walking looking for water, their brain will register, and then micro movements of their hands make that dowsing instrument move. Or someone that does pendulum, the same thing in their mind. So it's not true telekinesis, even though we've heard that the people have been doing that. They've never proved it scientifically. The third one is echolocation. Everyone has that sense. As an example, bats and how they navigate in the dark, listening to the ultrasonic clicks that they do. And number four is seeing behind you. Have you ever noticed if someone comes up behind you and all of a sudden you know someone is standing there? Well, that's a cousin of the echolocation called sound shadowing. And you also sense the pressure of the air as someone is walking to you and how that affects your back. Some people are more sensitive than others. And that same echoing sound, the sound changes of what you're hearing behind you. So that's number four that the brain is able to do. And number five was really kind of a unique one. And it was the ability to find hidden snakes. And they found that detecting of predatory animals, there's a sensing the presence of snakes that only ovulating women are able to do. And they did a test in Osaka and the study in the journal Nature, and they showed that ovulating women can spot snakes hidden in photographs significantly faster than non-ovulating women and much faster than any male. They were thinking that that must be some evolutionary trait because of pregnant women. They don't want to step on a snake that may threaten them. So they found that ovulating women can see things that are dangerous much quicker than non-ovulating women or men, for that matter. So I thought that was quite interesting. That was five things that the brain can do. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Something that has been quite controversial, it's called shaken baby syndrome. And there's a lot of men, women, parents, fathers, and mothers that have been convicted and gone to jail for this condition. Well, now one of the pediatric neuropathologists has done tremendous research on the science of shaken baby syndrome. What they're finding is doctors value their careers more than the truth, because there's failed science on shaken baby syndrome. And there are times throughout human history that a particular hypothesis or another is dogmatically accepted as truth, even though it's not true. In the past, those who challenged group thinking could be hanged or burned at the stake as a heretic. Even today, there can be a high price to pay for disagreeing with the status quo, even when there is strong scientific evidence that shows that the groupthink consensus is wrong. And one of those is shaken baby syndrome. But as an example, when you talk about vaccines, when you disparage vaccines, you can be banned on Google, you can be banned on Facebook or Twitter when you talk negatively about the standard idea of vaccines and whether vaccines work or not. Well, again, one of these hypotheses about shaken baby syndrome, and their finding is that it's not true, that it can be results of an inflammatory condition in the brain. Dr. Wayne Squire. She's a world-renowned pediatric neuropathologist whose intellectually honest quest for the scientific truth has led her to change her belief about shaken baby syndrome. And she is joined by many other doctors and researchers throughout the world who question the message that we've been taught to believe. Her decision almost cost her career. Even now, she is banned from testifying in court against shaken baby syndrome because the courts and the standard medical model is that shaken baby syndrome is real. And she spoke out at a BBC interview about the science. Shaken baby syndrome is really not from a shaken baby. Now, there are cases where parents or step-parents or siblings will shake a baby, but so far, regarding the damage in the brain, they're not finding that from shaken baby syndrome. What they're finding that is it's an inflammatory response in the brain that may be involved with vaccines, is one of the theories, or with food allergies, or a number of things. But the generally accepted consensus of what happens in shaken baby syndrome, also called abusive head trauma in the literature, is not accurate. Despite the increasing scrutiny of the shaken baby syndrome hypothesis, many doctors, social workers, and prosecutors have dug in their heels to defend the dogma of shaken baby syndrome and diagnosis. And innocent parents continue to lose their children to Child Protective Services and even be imprisoned over allegations that they abuse their children by shaking them. Increasingly, criminal convictions are being overturned. The Innocence Project with the West Virginia University College of Law has helped to free a number of people, of men specifically, who are in prison after being convicted of shaken baby syndrome. There's on the article, they describe the evidence. There was actually a new law that actually protects people, and it's the junk science law. One of those, as an example, may be, have you heard, coffee is bad, coffee is good, salt is bad, salt is good, sugar is bad, sugar is okay, don't eat fried foods, sometimes it's all right, depends what you fry it in. All of these. Have you ever thought you might be confused, but you're just not sure? Well, that's what's happening nowadays. So that doctor explains the shaken baby hypothesis, and she explained it in this 13-minute interview. So anyway, the shaken baby syndrome hypothesis are being changed by scientific evidence. As an example, even baby car seats, they used to put the babies in forward-facing car seats, and if those babies were involved in a road traffic accident, they can suffer severe whiplash. Now, there's a number of cases where they put the car seat facing backwards and protecting the babies more. So things change, and things change in science. One of these is the one about shaken baby syndrome. There was actually, here in the United States, a pretty big campaign to discredit Dr. Squire. She talks about that campaign on that interview, so you can go on there. But as it happens in the United States, there's a lot of stories about shaken baby syndrome, and it came out on Health Impact News, and that's a pretty big health news agency that follows all the news across the United States, actually across the world. A great story that talks about shaken baby syndrome and how we have to be careful. How can I help you this morning?
There was discussion about the correct formulation of chromium to take.
Yes.
And then I went to my medicine cabinet, and I noticed I'm taking zinc picolinate. Is that the correct formulation or not?
No, I don't like the picolinates. That is a patented chromium, and most of the research on the picolinates come from the owner of the patent. And a lot of the research, independent research, has shown that the picolinate type, whether it's zinc picolinate or chromium picolinate or vanadium picolinate, I don't like those types. I like the substance, whether it's the zinc or B3 or chromium or vanadium. I like polynicotinate. So not the picolinate. I want polynicotinate. That's where it's bound to nicotinic acid, which is a part of vitamin B3. There's no chromosome damage at all ever been recorded on that type of substance, whether it's, again, chromium or vanadium or zinc or any others. So I would not use any of the picolinate type supplements on the market. I would only use those that are bound to polynicotinate. So I hope that helps you to answer that question.
That's what I suspected. Does the zinc come in?
Oh yeah, you can.
Nicotinate.
Yes, or and it also you can get it in zinc gluconate, and there's all kinds of different types of zinc. Again, you need about anywhere from 35 milligrams up to maybe 100, no more than really 100 milligrams of zinc per day. Zinc is a very good nutrient because zinc helps the immune system and it helps your wounds heal faster. So, as an example, if you notice that your wounds are not healing very well, then that might be a zinc deficiency. So, excellent question. Where are you calling from?
Alamogordo.
Oh, well, thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate it. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
There's a couple questions that I wanted to answer that are online. The first one is, what supplements would you suggest for subjects who are cross-country runners? The first thing I would say is stop cross-country running. It's one of the worst exercises you can possibly do in the world. Every study in the world that has studied long-distance runners have found fibrosis in their hearts, which is scar tissue. What happens with cross-country runners is they'll run until you get that pain in your chest, that burning in your chest, and then you continue to run, and then you move through that. It's called moving through the wall. And once through the wall, then there's a euphoria, and then you love that feeling, and that's why people actually get addicted to this. But let me give you an example about muscle damage, because your heart is one solid muscle. And have you ever done weightlifting exercises? Imagine you're doing curls, and you're going to do those curls until the muscle failure. What happens? What will you feel in the muscle? Every human on the planet will feel that same thing, and it's called the muscle starts to burn. And what is that burn? It's lactic acid building up because of the lack of oxygen, and that lactic acid will cause pain and burning, and then of course the next day you wake up and that muscle is quite sore. And so that burn is telling you that the muscles are reaching their end capacity. They can't do anymore. Now your arm muscle will go into complete failure, and you won't be able to lift the weight anymore. Now, when you're running, and the body, after you're running, especially you're running pretty hard and cross country, and especially if you're competing, you're going to get to that burn in your chest, and you'll feel it. It's right in the center of your chest, and it's burning. And that is the same burn as the arm muscles would get when you're doing curls. Now, the problem is, your heart muscle can't go to failure and stop working. You have to keep your heart pumping. So what happens, it's called going through the wall. Your brain produces these endorphins, and those endorphins are like opiates, and they'll actually make you feel euphoria, but the burn goes away, and now you can continue to run 26 miles or however many miles, whether it's the marathons or ultra marathons. And every single study anywhere in the world, all of the hearts of long distance runners have fibrosis. And what fibrosis is an inflammatory condition in the muscles that causes scar tissue, and that scar tissue builds up. If you like running, then may I suggest running in a different way, not at a steady pace. what you would do is run as fast as you can for 30 seconds and then slow either a jog or a fast walk for a minute to a minute and a half. Then 30 seconds fast, a minute and a half slow. 30 seconds fast and a minute and a half slow. You're alternating that fast, slow, but you're giving your heart time to recover. Think of it. People running cross country now, the times are about, 2 hours and 7 or 8 minutes now that they're doing. We're talking sub 5 minute miles for 26 miles. It's unheard of. Anyway, they're damaging their heart. Where when you look at a sprinter, you're going to see a big chest, big arms, big shoulders, big thighs, very strong because they have to pump. Speed running or sprinting is much healthier than long distance running. So the first thing I'm going to say for those of you doing cross country running, stop doing that. It's a very bad type of exercise. And again, if you like running long distances and you want to do that, just run the way I told you, and that's fast, slow, 30 seconds as fast as you can. Now, if you're a really good professional, you can increase that and make it a minute as fast as you can, and then 2 minutes slow recovery, a minute as fast as you can, and 2 minutes slow recovery. Then you're going to actually get a bigger chest, bigger shoulders and arms and thighs, and you're going to actually improve your health, the volume of your lungs, and the strength of your heart. But cross-country running, terrible. Now, the supplements that I would use is, again, any of the strong antioxidants, that would be the most important. I would say vitamin E and the mineral selenium. Those are for your heart. CQ10, that's, again, for the muscles to uptake more oxygen, and so the mitochondria works where you produce energy. B-complex, because it's involved in energy production on every level. So, you know, those are the standard things, whether you're doing running or exercise or any other kind of exercise, those same nutrients are going to be very important. That's what I would recommend. But again, I do not recommend any long-distance cross-country running or marathons. The next question that is being asked is what kind of supplements would you recommend for quick weight loss? I don't like the idea of a quick weight loss. I think doing that, one of the best things you can do if you really want a quick weight loss is you do intermittent fasting. The supplement, there are certain herbs that can speed up your metabolism. One of those is ephedra, but people abuse that. It's not really designed for weight loss, even though it speeds your metabolism up. There has been athletes that have abused that. You normally take one or two capsules per day. And in Texas, there was a number of years ago, some athletes that were taking 15 of those supplements per day and doing saunas, and they died. And of course, they blamed the ephedra. And it was actually taken off the market for quite a long time. It's a Chinese herb. But there are Garcinia gambogia, Gymnia sylvestri. These help with sugar metabolism and help the liver and pancreas. There's also a chemical in berberine, and that's a chemical that helps sugar metabolism. And actually, there is a question. They were asking what is berberine a good thing to take. Yes, it is. It's berberine is a chemical. It's used for hypertension. It's used for diabetes. And also berberine has been isolated and is used for sugar metabolism, and it's used for improving insulin sensitivity. It helps balance out your cholesterol and triglycerides. It can help maintain normal blood pressure. So it's one of those things that really can keep your digestion running smoothly. It's running one of those type of chemicals that are in plants that are very beneficial. These are polyphenols and proanthocyanidins and anthocyanidins, and these are different chemicals that are produced in the plants. They have powerful effects, and actually berberine is quite good. Anyway, that's, you know, use that for diabetes, hypertension. Those are going to be the most common. And because you're helping your insulin sensitivity, and it can help you with weight loss. But again, the quick weight loss, I really don't like that kind of thing. There's another question. There is a lot of studies on hibiscus. It's a beautiful kind of a pink-red flower. Hibiscus has been studied, and it's used to hibiscus tea, especially with a little lemon and honey. It's a great tea that helps to lower high blood pressure. So hibiscus has been studied quite a bit, and it is actually a very good herb to use. Jim Humble's MMS Protocols, that's Mineral Miracle Solution, and I don't use that because it's a sodium chlorite formula, which means that to release the oxygen, you're also releasing a free molecule of chlorine. And I don't think chlorine is necessary. Now, MMS can make you feel quite queasy and nauseous and vomiting sometimes, especially if you're not used to it. You have to start with very few drops. Now, I would suggest using hydrogen peroxide, food-grade hydrogen peroxide, because that releases hydrogen and water. H2O2 breaks down to H2O and O1, and that O1 is used very specifically to help clean viruses and pathogens out of the body. The same oxygen is released in the sodium chloride, but you also get the chlorine molecule, and I don't like that. So I do not use that compound at all. I mean, it can be dangerous. The FDA does not like it, and so when you use it, they had to become a church to be able to use it now. I think they, Genesis 2 or whatever the church is called, they claim that that's part of their religion, so I think they get around the FDA on that. But I don't like that compound. You can take a drop, put it between your fingers, and then smell it, and you will smell the chlorine. Another compound used to be called dioxychlor from American Biologic. It's the same thing, and it was used for cancer. And again, I think the hydrogen peroxide, but you have to be careful with the food grade hydrogen peroxide. That can make you feel queasy and sick. There's been some very severe accidents because it looks like water, and they've had that 35% in a glass, and there's been children that have taken a big gulp of it, and they will die. That will burn through your esophagus and burn your stomach, and there has been a number of kids that have died because of it. So it's very dangerous, and you have to be very careful about having food-grade hydrogen peroxide anywhere. You keep it in the freezer in a plastic baggie because you don't want to touch it. You don't want even any drops on your skin. It will burn your skin. You have to be careful with that. I'm Eliezer Ben-Joseph. Anyway, then we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
I want to thank everyone for joining us. Okay, so let's go right to the phones.
Hi, Dr. Ben Joseph. I was going to ask you, what is the ideal reading for a blood pressure for a 75-year-old?
Well, what they have found is that as we get older, the body will compensate for hypertension. And there's two kinds of hypertension. There's a generalized hypertension, like someone that might have 150 over 95. And then there's what's called spiking hypertension, where someone might go up to 210 over 120. Now, the spiking hypertension is very dangerous, so you want to do something to bring that down very quickly. There was a big study that came out April 2015, and it was the Leisure World Health Study. And that Leisure World is a retirement center south of Los Angeles. But anyway, it's about 30, 35, 40 years old. And there's over 30,000 people, and they have to be 50 years old or older. Well, about now, it's at least 30 years ago, they enrolled about 20,000 of the senior citizens into a study. And they wanted to find out what makes people live longer. Not necessarily the quality of your life, only the quantity, how long you live. And they found that those that were taking the hypertensive medication for only mild hypertensive, like 140 over 90, 95, did not do as well taking hypertensive medication. Doctors keep wanting you to be lower and lower, and they talk about now 120 over 80, which used to be normal blood pressure. Now they talk about that as being pre-hypertension. Well, everything is pre-hypertension. But I would say as long as your blood pressure is running, say, below 140, 150 over in the 90s, I would use herbs to help bring that down. Cayenne pepper and chili pepper is one of the best herbs in the world to regulate blood pressure. Also the herb ginger. So drinking a ginger tea first thing in the morning with some lemon in it, or even a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and a little bit of honey, is a great tea. It's a pick-me-upper, and it'll help to regulate your blood pressure. So depending on the spiking blood pressure, very dangerous. You can have a stroke. And so if your blood pressure is normally, let's say, 115, 118, 120 over 70, 75, and all of a sudden your blood pressure is 150 over 95, which it rarely gets like that, that can be considered a spiking hypertension when your normal blood pressure is much lower. Again, most of the drugs don't help as well, but they found that at 75 years or older, the body compensates for blood pressure. Depending upon how much vitamin C and the amino acid L-lysine and CQ10 and essential fatty acids and the mineral magnesium, that controls the pliability of the arteries. As long as you can restore the pliability of the arteries, that's what counts. And if you ever thought you were having a heart attack or a stroke, you would get a teaspoon of cayenne pepper, put it in a glass of water, and drink it down immediately. There are herbs, ginger, cayenne pepper, hibiscus. These all can help lower hypertension and control hypertension. And again, if it's only a mild hypertension, the Leisure World study showed that those that were not taking the hypertensive medicine actually lived longer than those taking the hypertensive medication. Another thing that study showed, that those with the higher amounts of cholesterol actually lived longer than those artificially trying to lower cholesterol. So they found 250, even 300 cholesterol lived longer than people with 150 cholesterol. These were some of the things that in this Leisure World study, and it's quite unique. Again, blood pressure is one of those things you have to be careful of, because sometimes what we would consider is okay, not really high. If you normally have low blood pressure and then it spikes to that, it can be a form of spiking hypertension. So that you do need to control. But again, drinking the hibiscus, even a hibiscus ginger tea, taking apple cider vinegar with a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper in it, that can really help. Take that with every meal, and that can help control your hypertension. So I think that answered that question. Thank you so much, Sylvia. Really appreciate it.
I do have a question here. It's about H. pylori. This person says that they had to go through the process two times, and it wasn't successful as far as taking the antibiotics.
H. pylori is a bacteria in your stomach, and it most people have it, but they never have any symptoms. They don't even show positive on the antibodies. But it's one of those ubiquitous bacteria. But some people you can tell, because you'll get heartburn, and it'll cause severe digestive imbalance. And even in the long term, it can cause stomach cancer. So H. pylori, there is a medical program. It's one of the few I recommend, because it's only 2 weeks long. You take the antibiotic for 2 weeks, and then you take an antacid like a Pepcid or Prilosec. And the only thing is, they forget to put the good bacteria back in. But if she's done that twice and she's still showing positive to, then they used the wrong antibiotic, is what they have to do, is a different antibiotic. Now, cinnamon is a spice that actually goes after that H. pylori. So The same way you can take with every meal a glass of water that's room temperature, natural water, spring water, and put in a quarter teaspoon to a half a teaspoon of cinnamon and a teaspoon or two of apple cider vinegar, and that can help control any kind of heartburn or can control that H. pylori. Otherwise, tell them that it didn't work. There's a breath test and a blood test to determine whether you have the H. pylori or not. And so if it's positive, again, cinnamon is one of the best herbs that help that. Nature Sunshine makes a combination called Gastro Health that was designed specifically for H. pylori. Also, there's digestive enzymes that you can take that will actually help you digest your food for those that have digestive issues. Nature Sunshine makes a number of them, one called High Lipase that's has all the enzymes but a little bit more lipase for digesting fats. Another one called Proactazyme that's to help digest more proteins, but it has all of the enzymes in it. doTERRA essential oils makes one called Digestin, and that has herbs and essential oils in it for digestion. Peppermint oil is one of the best oils for H. pylori. So use the cinnamon on that. That can really help. Okay. And then there was one more. Is coconut water a good way to get hydrated? Yes, it is. You want to get a good organic coconut water with no sugar added. It's very high in potassium, so it's a very good drink to natural hydration. I think it's one of the best. So I love coconut water. Now, there's a little bit difference, you know, because when you have it in a can or a container, it just depends how old it is. They have to put some type of preservative in it. So you do have to be a little careful for those that are sensitive. But coconut water would be actually a great hydration. It works very quickly to hydrate the body. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning on Natural Solutions Radio with me, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph. Today's show is brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally. Prime Longevity, check it out. PrimeLongevity.com, the best anti-aging supplement on the market.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs. Be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.